Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register, and I play Lara on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, survivors, we're back. Welcome to episode 118 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And Kyle won't be with us tonight, but we have a very special treat for you. We have a third co-host. And you may not believe it, but coming back to The Walking Dead Talk Through after a 3.5 year hiatus is...
It's me! I'm Ruthie!
It's not true! That's impossible!
What?
I thought I would see pigs fly before I would see you back on the show. But it's great to have you back.
Thanks.
Yeah, so anyway, Kyle, he will hopefully be back next week, but we have Ruthie, and Ruthie, as you can tell, has picked up The Walking Dead again. So that's one of the things about the coronavirus, right?
My stepmom wanted to watch it, and I said, yeah, man, the first seasons were great. Oh, man. So she wanted to watch it again, so I started watching it with her, and we powered through that stuff I hated. I was like, oh, this is just as bad as I remember. But
we have lost LT. What the hell happened? Does the internet go out or something?
Kind of sounded like it.
Boy.
He was a man. Well, he was here for a good hour and a half before.
I know.
Oh, man.
This is every possible thing that could happen tonight has happened.
Yep.
Okay. Well, anyway, we lost LT, but hopefully he'll be back. Tonight we'll be covering the 10C. Premiere or the continuation of season 10, whatever you want to call it, season 10, episode 17, titled Home Sweet Home. But first, we have a little bit of feedback for the last two episodes of The Walking Dead World Beyond, season 1, episodes 9 and 10, from I don't remember the episode titles, I didn't look them up, from Glynis. From Toronto, she says, I eventually got around to watch this. It's been a hectic month or two at work. I know all about that. But this was such a good finale. Their dad, unfortunately, is a goner and being talked to by his girlfriend. He's now an A with him wanting to go out the CRM. Roll on the second season to prep even further for the TWD movies. So, anyway, yeah.
All right.
So, anyway, moving on to this episode, season 10, episode 17, Home Sweet Home, written by Kevin Diebolt and Corey Reed, and directed by David Boyd. And it's interesting for this 10C. What they have done, it's actually something that they did with Game of Thrones, where they kind of like went to like a very limited stable of directors. So there are two directors. There's like an A team and a B team. So this one is part of the A team, directed by David Boyd. So what I think is 1, 3, and 5 are David Boyd. 2, 4, and 6 are Laura Belsey. So it'll be interesting to see the difference of that. But basically, they shot these all at the same time. So they were like doing 2 episodes at a time each time. Really interesting. Yeah. The description from AMC.com is as follows. Maggie has returned to the dismay of Negan. The trials she endured since leaving has made her harder in order for her and her son to survive. When her past catches up to her, Daryl and Maggie unexpectedly fight an unseen and unknown threat. We don't know LT is coming back or not, but we're going to keep going. So, Ruthie, what did you think of Home Sweet Home?
I don't have a rating. I only watched it one time. I was just supposed to be the surprise.
Yes, I know.
Not the co-host.
I know. Yeah, I know. Well, did you like it?
I mean, it was good. I liked what I saw, I guess. I don't remember a whole lot of the episode, so I watched it Sunday night, and that was a while ago, and I didn't see it again. And
way to sell it.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, sometimes my stepmom's TV is hard to hear dialogue on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so we ended up turning on the subtitles, because neither of us could hear it. I'm like, I'm not that old, but her TV is just really hard to hear out of sometimes. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it.
Well, I'm going to give it 9.4 warm cups of zombie gumbo.
And I have no idea what that is referring to.
I don't know. I was trying to
what
think
is that a reference of?
Like instead of saying soup. I don't know, but it's like it was nice to have it back. I enjoyed just having the show back, you know, felt comfortable. I thought like a solid episode. It reminded me a lot of season 2 and the season 4B. Where there were like these stories where you're kind of like with a group of people, especially 4B, I think. Good character moments, you know what I mean?
For those of us who haven't seen 4B in a really long time, remind us what you're talking about, maybe.
4B was after the governor went back to, you know, destroy the prison. And so they are Mary Few were on their way to Terminus, basically. And everybody's kind of stranded.
So after the prison.
After the prison and before Terminus. So, you know, everybody was split apart and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the main thing that was going on there, but there were a lot of like things where you had like 2, 3, 4 characters together, and that's kind of what we had for most of this episode. You know, it was like Daryl, Maggie, Kelly, and the new characters, I guess. And am I thinking of anybody else? A little bit of Negan, a little bit of Carol, but mostly Daryl, Maggie, Kelly, and the new characters. So, you know,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully LT will be back. He's trying to get back to us. But until then, let's move on to listener ratings. We've got a couple. Dieta, she'll be shocked.
Hi, Deanna.
Deanna's been listening to us from the very beginning. She rated this episode 9 out of 10. Boy, did I miss this show.
Nice. Glennis from Toronto says 8 out of 10. Reaper ripped out that grenade pin.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I don't know who these Reaper people are. They're new, I guess.
Yep, they are new. All right, so let's move on to our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
See, that's the thing. Even when you weren't here, you were still here.
Aw.
Yeah. Dieta from Detroit says, awesome sauce and aw sauce was seeing little Herschel sitting in a tree looking like a young Glenn. It had my eyes watering.
Yeah.
How would we? Is that an aw face and a teary face? I loved it. Heart face, heart face.
Heart face emoji.
What a way to honor Glenn's memory. Yes, I agree with you. I agree. He was a cute young little guy, and he had the, I liked how his, you know, his feet were kind of like jumping around on the tree. He was very reminiscent of Glenn. Like, yeah. Like if you think about in the, was it in the second episode when he's driving that Dodge Challenger or something like that. and he's, you know, all say, woo, you know,
yeah,
that's the kind of Glenn, I saw in Herschel. Obviously he's not having that much fun, but, he's still, you know, able to, hide from the big bad man. So it's good for him.
Yep.
All right. We got another one.
Glennis from Toronto again says, just having TWD back on a Sunday is walking wondrous. You just knew that Walker's head was going to get squished when they were all trying to close that container's door, but very satisfying all the same. I have to agree. It was
not
unexpected.
It was.
But the Nerf football head squish factor was high.
That was part of the reason why I called it zombie gumbo.
Oh.
But all right, so now it's time for our own awesome sauce. I'll just start with mine. Carol, for owning up to what she did and telling and showing what she did, and Maggie for understanding that she did what she thought was needed. So I thought that both characters, you know, were, I thought, good in that time, because both, I think Carol was right that she had to, you know, own up to it. And Maggie was also right to give her the benefit of the doubt to say, you know, well, she had reasons for doing it. So I thought that was good.
Yeah. She also said something like, I don't know that I wouldn't have done the same thing.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Or something similar in the same situation or something like that. Anyway.
I liked Kelly in this episode and her interactions with various people. Elijah, especially, I kind of liked that moment. That was kind of surprising to me. I did not expect. I was expecting a Scarface or something. Exact opposite.
Not like a young kid?
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know, like, or the man little, with the iron baby mask face or kid. Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Little baby face kid with pudgy cheeks still. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So with Elijah, with Daryl and Maggie, and Daryl, he seemed to be like teaching Kelly a little bit. I noticed, but also, you know, Kelly having moments like, Maggie, like, later in the episode, like talking about Connie and, you know, whether or not Kelly was the older one or the younger one and, you know, talking mm-hmm. about Connie. I thought that was all good because obviously Connie and Maggie have like, you know, similar kind of thing. So I think Maggie could kind of be a big sister to Kelly while Connie is not around.
Surrogate big sister.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was good. But at the same time, Kelly was kind of wiser than I've seen her be. So.
Yeah. Like, how do you mean?
Well, I don't know. A lot of times she seems to run off half-cocked, and she kind of did at the one point. But like, she always seems to be kind of unnerved a lot of times. But this time, she seemed to be much more, I don't know.
Settled?
Yes. And I don't know if that's just from learning from her sister and growing up a little bit, or just not feeling like the little sister. I don't know, but
I think part of the reason why she was unsettled was because she she's losing one of her senses, and that can obviously be very unsettling, especially in a situation where having all five of your senses could be life or death. And she's kind of having to adjust to, I might not be able to hear, and how do I deal with that? And then not only that, the loss of, Big Sis, I think that kind of just culminated in lots of unsettling feelings for Kelly. So,
yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that she's definitely exhibiting a little bit of growth.
I think so. The other thing I would say with Kelly is Kelly using the crossbow, which, she may like that slingshot, but I thought it was kind of cool for her to use a crossbow and, kind of put the shot on the guy to finally immobilize him a bit so that,
yeah,
he wasn't going to run away so much. So
that he was immobilized.
Yeah.
I love the slingshot. I think it's one of my favorite things because all you need is a good rock.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have anything super special, like with a crossbow. Yeah. Crossbow, bow and arrow. That's all great and everything.
But you need an arrow. Yeah.
Yeah. You need a specialized tool to shoot out of it. But don't get me wrong. Eventually you run out of rocks, but they certainly seem like they would be something easier to lay hands on necessarily than something that find yourself a good gravel quarry and good to go.
I would think that the supply of rocks would be considerably more than the supply of arrows. 100% of the time.
Yeah. Definitely. And not only that, it's probably, I don't know about easier to make rocks, but it's probably easier than making arrows. I don't know.
Okay. Do you have any awesome sauce?
It was awesome seeing Maggie again. So that was awesome.
I agree.
Of course, she made her big, yay! She made her big debut last season or episode 16, but other than that, I don't really have anything specific necessary.
Yay!
He's back!
All right.
Thanks, Pedro.
All right.
Okay, so where we are, we didn't give your rating yet.
I'm seriously having flashbacks of our very first episode ever.
Yes, that first episode that we basically did three times. Yeah. So anyway, so LT's back, and what can we do as far as getting your rating? Because we're at the awesome sauce level now, but let's get your rating.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay. Well, I was going to say my rating this week was 9, non-arbitrary out of 10, Widow Ree and her band of plot complications.
Oh, man, that's funny. Widow Ree, huh?
Well, Yeah, because
that's what Negan called her, the widow.
Called Negan the widow. And you know, I'm really glad that she brought, you know, her crew of cannon fodderites with her. Her team of red shirts. I mean, come on. The only ones that survived were, you know, Super Ninja and Beard Guy.
Yeah.
And Lil Herschel. He survived.
Lil Herschel. But
weren't there a couple of nondescripts, or were they from Alexandria?
There were
some people who had no speaking parts who survived.
There were five. Two corpses, the guy who got shot in the neck,
yes,
the girl who got shot in the liver, and the girl that got center of mass.
Yep.
So
the liver, huh? That's very specific.
Well, that's kind of where it was. It was lower.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Anatomy.
The Saving Private Ryan thing, you know, you shoot the body and let them flop in the dirt. So you run out there to grab them so the sniper can pick off
you
the
off rest too. The yeah.
When you say liver, I think fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Hilarious. I have never seen that movie.
Never?
Nope, never. Not once. Yeah, I missed a lot of movies that I probably won't ever go back and watch. That's not the only one.
Because actually, Michael Cudlitz is in Clarice right now, which is related to that movie.
The host will put the lotion on her skin.
I mean, I'm familiar with the pop references because I've heard people talking about it, you know, put the lotion in the basket. But I've never seen the movie. So I know what you guys are talking about when you say things, but I just want to put it out there that I've never seen that movie.
All right. Well, anyway, LT, we are at the awesome sauce level, but Ruthie was in the middle of giving her awesome sauce. So do you have any other awesome sauce, Ruthie?
Not really. I'll let LT go.
All right. All right, LT, what do you got for awesome sauce?
Well, I was really excited to see Maggie again.
Me too.
I mean, you know, we've had that space occupied by Carol, and Carol, you know, while I want more gut poncho Terminus Carol rather than, you know, angsty living in the cabin Carol.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
I would agree with that.
And Maggie, I think Maggie is going to give us the angsty moments, but I think that Maggie is still going to be, why is he still here? Why is he still alive, Maggie? Yeah, I think she's going to be.
You think so?
She's going to have her moments of introspection with, you know, Daryl maybe, or, you know, some of the old heads. And she's going to do it in private, but I think she's going to be all fierce face, angry Maggie out in public. So it's good to have her back. It's really good to have her, and, you know, the fact she brought Herschel with her. So that's going to be, you know, more kids, you know, the second generation of kids. So, and like I said, loved when Herschel was sitting there on the tree limb after all this stuff has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a very Glennish moment.
It was. Yep. I said the same thing.
Yep.
You know, like, even if you go way back to the beginning, you know, the first time you ever saw Glenn.
Yep.
You know, hey, you in the tank.
Yep.
Yep.
Hey, dumbass.
Yep.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement. We can all tell who his daddy is.
Yep.
Do you got anything else?
Really? That was what I was the most happy about.
Me too. All right, so let's move on to weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Well, we don't have any listener weak sauce, but we do have some weak sauce of our own. So, LT?
Oh, yes, we do. So, once again, even if it looks empty, take the gun, Maggie. You know, it's back. It's, come on. It is first person shooter game 101. If you've got a stick and you find a gun, you pick up the gun. You know, she walked right past the super sniper rifle and it's just sitting there. It's got a sling. Pick it up. Because then if the guy that had the gun comes back, he's not going to have the gun.
Right. He no longer has the gun.
And now you have the gun. Even if you don't use the gun, you have the gun.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why she wouldn't pick it up. Maybe. Well,
it's, I'm sorry. After years of playing video games, after all the years that I was in service and after all the years I've had as a cop, the first thing you do is if there's a gun that's loose, you pick it up, you secure it. Because at least if you have it, then they can't use it against you.
Right. Secure the weapon. Have the gun.
So that was it's like she walked right past it. It's like, oh, there's a gun. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah. That would be like one of us walking by $100 bill on the ground and going, oh, yeah, okay, that's nice.
It's like, oh, hey, it's $100 bill.
I think I'm going to wipe my nose with it.
I would definitely have picked up the gun if it were me.
Yeah.
Well, and I will complain about, you know, Mr. Ghillie suit later. What a ghillie
suit! I was like, you know, that's a full blown ghillie suit.
Oh, I know. I mean, this is serious business, ghillie suit.
Yeah.
That, you know, I've been in the position where you have one that's like, you know, you just stick some stuff out of your pockets to kind of blend in a little bit better. But this is full blown, genuine Bushman ghillie suit.
Bushman. Oh gosh. Yep. Well, he was not messing around.
Well, and see that's back to years ago. And I date myself on this. There was a fad back when paintball was not just how much paint you could put in the air and you wear like football jerseys, when there was actually some sneaking and camouflagingness going on, that there were a bunch of guys that started paintballing in ghillie suits and people were complaining because they're in ghillie suits. They would basically find them a little hide and they would like be picking people off.
Oh my gosh. Well, hey man.
That's what they're for.
Yep.
The only thing is that once you have to displace out of your hide, then it's like, that looks like Swamp Thing running out.
Exactly.
You know, it sort of loses the utilitarian of the camouflage once you have to start, you know, running
around. Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, take the gun. And I think my other thing was, okay, so Maggie's crew has been with her. They've survived. They've gone cross country from wherever they were, which we assume, air quotes, somewhere out west.
I thought they were actually, they were on the coast somewhere. Like I was thinking, well, North Carolina.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the problem was I couldn't hear exactly when she was talking about where they were.
Okay.
I couldn't hear very well either.
And I thought it was somewhere. I thought she said somewhere west.
Well, no, she said it was Georgie that went west.
Right.
So where what she said was they were in Knoxville, and then instead of, you know, heading towards Virginia, they headed towards a place that their Nana had on the coast,
like,
on the coast, basically on the ocean. And
she and Glenn always talked about going.
Yeah, there. They always talked about going there, but they never did. So that probably meant either like North Carolina, or
South Carolina.
Yeah, either the Carolinas or maybe like something like Virginia Beach, or, you know, like far enough away from Alexandria that they didn't get very close. So, but that's why I'm thinking it was something like North Carolina or South Carolina, because it sounds like it wasn't just, you know, they were a few miles away. It was, they were far enough away, from Alexandria, or for, you know, from wherever this mail drop was, that, you know, they couldn't come too close. So
it's significant.
Well, wherever they were, they came far enough with all these people that you would think they would have a little bit of acumen. now the guy ambushing them in the shed and killing the people in the shed and, you know, spooking them out of that hide, I could see that a little bit. But whenever everybody was like, hey, somebody's shooting, and the first thing they do is prairie dog, they're like, they're like, you know, it's like, because it kind of reminded me for a second of that scene in The Jerk where the guy's trying to kill him at the gas station and shooting the display of oil cans.
Okay, it's been a really long time since I've seen that movie.
But it's still, the guy's shooting at him with a suppressed rifle, and it's like, somebody's trying to kill those cans. and I'm like, you know, get down. Get behind something. Even if it's not hardcover, it's concealment.
Yeah.
I had this down as well, because that's what I said. It's like, dude gets it in the neck, and they're just like, they're just standing around going, huh?
Oh my gosh. Someone's shooting at us.
Like the next act starts with them running around, but it felt like it was like 10 seconds of them just going, huh? What?
Especially if they had they had a name for their foe. So it's not like they were brand new at being chased or whatever. So
yeah,
the way she was talking, she's like, you know, they had dealt with these guys before.
Right.
So if they dealt with them before, they should understand threat. Or understand threat, understand that they have equipment, understand that they use like
ghillie suits,
real military tactics.
Yeah.
And like I said, fodder guy number one gets it in the neck, and he's like, you know, guck, guck, plop. I would be making myself as low to the ground as possible.
I know.
Hope that the guy wasn't in a tree.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if the guy was using a suppressed rifle, if he was using a suppressed rifle with subsonic ammo, it would be extremely hard to tell which way the bullets were coming from.
True.
But Daryl's hiding behind a tree, and it's like, pee-yow, the guy hits the tree. So immediately, you know where the guy is.
Yeah.
You know which way he's shooting at you. But I would still, you know, get down, get cover.
Yeah.
And two, one would think, if you're standing there and you see everybody else, you know, hugging the dirt, then you would sort of assume that, yes, I must hug dirt as well. Yeah. not sort of stand there in a in a British officer sort of thing and go, why are you standing in the dirt?
Yep.
And, you know,
oh, it's my like, gosh.
It's, you know, I'm sorry. If you're standing up, if you're the obvious target, then guess what? You're the one that's going to draw fire.
Yeah.
The obvious going to get hit.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, it just seemed like once the first gal got shot and she's down and they were going to
rush the liver the center mass girl.
No, this is the liver.
Liver. Okay. The liver shot.
The center of mass was the second one.
Yeah.
But she's laying there, you know, holding her guts.
Holding her liver in.
Tank, you're going, oh. And Maggie was going to rush. And Daryl said, no, they're trying to draw us out. And so what happened? Ben, you know, hapless follower number three appears somewhere standing there. And it's like, poop. She looked and you know, looks at the camera, and I said, "Well, she's DRB."
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And that's dead right there.
My gosh. Yeah.
Well, she center of mass, connects right in the, you know, done. And I'm like, and then me being the morbid lister, you know, follower of the show, I'm thinking, somebody better low crawl over there and shank them in the gourd.
Was thinking that too. It's like,
yeah, the next thing that's going to happen is it's like, okay, we're pinned down by the sniper and now we've got fresh zombies.
Yep.
Exactly. That's what I was worried about. I was like, I know you want your friends to survive, but shouldn't you like stick them in the head?
Well, and that's been the thing that Brian and I went on about this. For what's the average turn time?
Yeah.
And of course it's the same thing as how long does it take the Enterprise to get where it needs to go? You know, it's the speed of, it's the speed of plot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and I'm surprised that they didn't have them turn, you know, cause that would
I'm surprised by that as well.
Yeah.
Because that would have been the next lovely thing to deal with because, you know, you've got, you know, two fresh walkers to deal with, plus, you know, unknown in the distance sniper guy.
Right.
And is about our guy in the ghillie suit. Now, I understand that he's, you know, Mr. Hardcore bad guy, but
I mean, his nickname is a Reaper.
Well, correct.
Well, okay. And yes. And I want to talk about that one.
And he was a big boy.
Yes, he was.
He was. You know,
that he did the side suplex on Daryl and, you know, was tossing people right and left.
Yep. Threw Maggie up against a tree.
But he doesn't enunciate very well.
Well, true.
The only reason I knew that he said Pope marked you were two things. I watched what they said on Talking Dead when what's her name? One of the executive producers, Denise Huth, said Pope marked you. And then when I watched it with captions, he said Pope marked you. The first time I watched it, I didn't watch it with captions. I couldn't tell what the heck he said.
I thought it was going to be some Latin phrase like Po Marquu or something. It's like, so here I am. Here I am looking on the internet. Po Mark. Because I'm thinking it's going to be like, you know, Vini Vidi Vici or, you know, Six Emperor Tyrannus or some Latin phrase. But yeah, he would. I suppose when you're in sniper school, you don't get any extra courses for elocution. Okay.
Eloquence training.
Besides, yeah. He was just about to turn into a hamburger, so, you know.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
True. But
they were all saved by their plot device shields, though.
Well, I don't know. It depends on where he had the frag, but
they were saved by their plot device shields because he showed them that he had a pin.
Well, that's true.
That's what saved them, because if you really wanted to blow some folks up, you're not going to show them the pin that I just pulled out of the grenade.
Well,
although I knew that he pulled the pin out of the grenade before he even showed the pin. So if it were me grenade, and I were there, I'd be like, get down.
The grenade, all it did was turn him into, you know, mass ejection hamburger.
There's your gumbo.
Otherwise, there was no shrapnel. There was no other, you know, nothing else. It was just...
Grenades are just concussive, aren't they? They're not really
No. If it was your normal military grenade, you know, you're used to the old World War II ones that look like pineapples.
Well, I don't know.
Well, if you've ever seen like a John Wayne movie, the pineapple-y looking grenade,
yeah.
It's got a cast iron body and the pineapple parts break apart, makes shrapnel. Well, see, the modern ones are much more efficient, and they're basically wrapped in serrated piano wire inside. So when they explode, they're not pellets. It's just tiny little shards of metal. Now, there are like offensive grenades that are just bang and no fragments.
Yeah, and flashbang. You know,
and flashbangs, which are basically loud and have more
flash,
more pyrotechnic.
Right.
Because the whole thing is to that sudden flash of light and the loud sound.
Disorientation.
And they do. But for him to have been blown to giblets like that, if he had a regular frag, I mean, okay, if we go down the woulda, coulda, shoulda and say, okay, he's wearing body armor and he's got it inside his armor, yeah, it would be self-contained. It would be just blow him to little chunky bits. But yeah, I'm still kind of going, if you're so hardcore gung-ho, I guess it's way too, you know, it's way too terrorist for me to blow myself up. My thing is that if I was that level of, you know, if it was me, oh, okay. I'll get caught because eventually I'll get loose, you know. And if I can get loose, then I know where you're at and I can continue to wreak havoc and cause problems. You know, if I just blow myself up, then, you know, they're a man down and all my training and experience and all that other stuff, you know, goes into giblets. the Pope marked you. I had to like go back and listen very closely because I agree with you. It was like blah blah blah.
Yeah,
I guess because we were listening we had subtitles on throughout, so I got it right away.
You know, I didn't see the smoke come out of the chimney at the you know. To mark that there was a new pope. So, yeah.
Well, then, wait a minute. If it was that pope, then wouldn't they be the cardinals instead of the reaper?
Hey, there you go.
But,
well.
But that's kind of where I was at. That whole sequence, I'm like, Maggie brought her, you know, her team of red shirts, and it's still going to be, you know, her and I keep saying Super Ninja. I guess his name is Elijah.
Yeah, Elijah,
the kid in the mask.
Yeah,
and then Beard Guy,
Cole. Yeah,
you can just say Beardy Man.
Yeah. So basically, it's still the
same guy.
Kirk is still the Kirk Spock McCoy. The primary survived, you know, so Maggie, Elijah, Cole, they survived and all their team is sprouting daisies. So I just,
that's it seemed to happen.
They do like to bring in characters that way sometimes, in threes, like Abraham, Rosita and Eugene, a good example.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. But these guys didn't even get T-dogged, Brian.
True. That's true. Yeah.
They basically, I mean, did we okay, so they had their names in the in memoriam, but did they ever call them by their names?
No.
While they were no.
No,
no, I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying. It was not even a T-Dog. You know, this was just like, you know, hi, I'm random extra that needs to die a horrible death to further the plot.
Well, like the first guy who Talking Dead said was Gus. I mean, I think he had one line and then he got it in the throat. Well, that's the second line. First line was, you know,
I am Gus.
Yeah. And then.
I think it was inopportune. Something like, I didn't hear anything. Somebody's shooting.
Yeah. You know,
Indians.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Is that
well,
it?
I cannot disagree with your assessment of that whole scene.
Yeah.
I think that's it, Brian.
And it was okay. Pretty funny too.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the Reapers for a moment. So they're calling them the Reapers. Yet, what's the first thing that Maggie asks? Who are you?
You.
Okay, so they have a name. They've given them a name, but they don't know what they're called. So
well, yeah, no, that was pretty no. ineffective interrogation there.
Well, that I would say just bad branding. But
yeah.
But the thing would be is that she's so worried about the Reapers. The Reapers are chasing her. And then she's like, who are you? Wait a minute. Do you think that maybe we've picked up another, you know, random bunch of highly armed, highly trained, well-equipped stalkers that are trying to kill you?
Oh, a separate bunch?
A second bunch.
It's like, no, I'm with the wolves and I got lost since season 5. I've been wandering around in the woods trying to kill you for 3 years now.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, so why are they, you know, stalking them and killing them? Like, why were they marked? What?
Well, maybe Maggie knows who some of them are.
Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe there's some people that Georgie did wrong.
Maybe. Maybe they supplied, or, you know, when they like helped out some community, they pissed off another community or something, you know, like. Remember the saviors were kind of like taking their cut from the hilltop and, you know, and the kingdom for that matter. And, you know, when Alexandria kind of butt in with it, they were not too happy. So maybe something like that, but I don't think so. It just seems like it's a merry group of stalkers. And so what happens next? So, next week, there's another stalker and another stalker. They're like, you know, a single band of stalkers. When do you get the whole army of stalkers?
Well, Brian, maybe it's like Jeremiah Johnson.
Okay.
That
been a long time since I've the only thing I've seen from Jeremiah Johnson.
It's after he made the tribe mad, they would send, you know, they would send single guys to go take him out.
Okay.
So it's like this long succession of single guys trying to kill him.
Okay.
So maybe it's like, you know, okay, you get your, you know, your Reaper second class badge if you can kill Maggie.
That's funny.
So it's like the initiation test. I don't know.
It makes me wonder though. It's like, well, why these people exist and why are they picking on Maggie? You know,
what did she do? What did she do that they're going to follow her this far just to kill her.
And are they responsible for these communities falling? Like, that's what it sounds like. You know, everywhere Maggie has gone, you know, they've built up, you know, communities, and then they've all, you know, declined. And it sound like whatever happened in Knoxville, you know, there was some kind of decline in Knoxville, and then wherever they were at, you know, where this community came from was really bad. And like, this is just like, you know, single guy of, you know, maybe an army. But I'm just trying to wonder, like, what's the deal with these guys? Is this like another, you know, thing of wolves? Or, you know, it's similar to things we've seen before. And I know, you know, the show's kind of winding down, and, you know, we have to have Maggie hardened, you know, otherwise why would she come back? But still, I don't know. I'm just kind of wondering what their deal is. I would have liked a little more on what happened, but, you know, that would kind of tell us too much. So, you know, they have to extend the story. So
yeah, it was kind of thin.
It was. So why did they, it might have been satisfying to smush that one walker, you know, between the door, but why not just like stab the guy?
Stab it in the head and move on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, why go through all that and just, you know, Maggie gets that big cut and looked like a pretty nasty cut, which, even though it was a pretty nasty looking cut, we don't hear anything about it. So, you know, she could end up with tetanus at the end of the season or something. No.
I don't know, man.
Or an infection or whatever.
Say infections, right. No joke.
Well, yeah, I mean, you think about like what happened with Gabriel, you know, where he got his, you know, basically lost sight in his eye because he got guts, you know, in his eye. Well, you know, maybe she could have got some, you know, brains on her in the cut, you know, when that went down. So, you know, any kind of thing could happen and get infected, and, you know, next season Maggie ends up with one arm or something,
right? So, and you end up with the 2 gallons of grape jelly that was in that practical effect when they squashed that thing's head.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, push it back.
Yeah, that's, you know, the thing too, is there's a reliance on this show a little bit too much sometimes of like the gag of the week. And, you know, it's like, I don't really need to see what cool zombie kill can they do this week. It's like, you know, we've seen 100 and some odd, you know, gags of the week. We know that
Greg Nicotero is a special effects genius for PE. Yeah. You know, it's like you said, Brian, it's the jump scare of the week.
Yeah. And I don't think that, you know, they need to do that so much anymore. It's like, you know, we've seen it. We've
rely on their shtick.
Yeah. You know, I think if you're going to do that, come up with something big, you know.
Well, I guarantee you there's somebody in some focus group that's what they said they loved.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They need to ask that same person again. You still like this?
I'm sure if you went to, you know, people that will say that's what they like about the show, like it's just, you know, the gore of the week, and, you know, they don't look at it any further than that. But yeah, you know, I don't know. It wasn't.
Well,
I like the apocalypse part of the show. I don't necessarily have to have the scary zombie kill of the week, you know, every time.
Exactly.
Not at this point, you know, it's like we've seen enough at this point. It's like, you know, how many more are you going to be able to shock me with? It's not like the, remember, since I mentioned season two earlier, I don't know if you were on LT when I mentioned it, but, like in season two, there's that well walker, like that was a memorable one. Right. But you know, that we don't really need anything that memorable anymore. I don't know. That's just
well,
me.
Well, the problem is that wasn't even that memorable.
It was just really. Gross.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, it wasn't like the, it wasn't a well walker situation.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh, this wasn't. Yeah. No.
It right.
was just,
I'm saying like, if you're going to, it's like, I don't know, just kind of bore me and roll my eyes.
Like, it was like the COVID kill of the week. Let's find a COVID safe way to kill a walker. So,
yeah.
Beyond that, I don't really have anything else, because I think we already kind of talked about the great grenade. So that's it for me. Ruthie, do you have anything weak that you'd like to highlight or low light?
I was thinking about something, but I don't know. I can't remember now. So no, I don't have anything.
All right. So let's move on to our what sauce.
What?
Again, we don't have any listener what sauce, but LT, you have what sauce, so let's go with you first.
I do. So tell me, what's up with the Connex box full of walkers? you know, we know they're not huddling in there for shelter. it just seemed like if there's a closed box that's full of walkers, then somebody put them there. And I was trying to remember, and I made a comment about the wolves before, because I want to say they were the ones that gathered them up in the trailers.
They did.
So I guess it just left me with more questions, other than the fact that it was kind of a, you know, the moment of drama to have the whole cut your arm fighty thing. But me being me, I'm going, well, who put all those walkers in the box to begin with? I guess the other question, so where's Dog?
Oh, yeah. I miss Dog. He was in
because the... Was Dog hanging with Carol in Alexandria?
No, Dog was with someone in Alexandria.
Yeah, Dog was still, Dog was elsewhere. Because... Yeah. Because wouldn't it have been nice to have Dog for finding someone in a ghillie suit, perhaps?
Yes, I would agree with that.
So what you're saying is they didn't have Dog because that would have made it too easy.
Easy.
Yes.
To find.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the other thing that I was kind of going, what? Was the fact that I'm glad that Kelly and, you know, Elijah had their moment to have their heart to heart, but don't have a heart to heart during a firefight. don't have a heart to heart when you're fleeing for your lives. You know, do that when you got some downtime. especially when it's, you know, things are really bad. The crap's really hitting the fan, and you know, let's take a moment of introspection. lift up your mask and let's talk about things. You know, let's talk about our feelings. No, not now. I just am like,
well, he was having a panic attack, obviously.
And again, perhaps it's merely my frame of reference, but that's where you sort of grab him by the collar and say, you know,
let's move.
Get your crap together, man. We got to go. You know, if you're in the moment of, you know, you're having a Bill Paxton moment in Aliens. You know, if you're doing the game over, man, game over, man. So what did Hicks do? Hicks was like, you know, suck it up. Let's go. So again, I know why they did it. I get why they did it. But I'm like, now is not the time to explore your feelings. Do that when you're safe.
For my what sauce, I'll just say Maggie and Georgie's ineffectiveness. But I guess that shouldn't surprise me too much, because we've seen that all the way through the, you know, zombie apocalypse. Things are good, like Herschel's farm, things are good. And then, you know, things fall apart. Things are good at the prison, then they fall apart. You know, things are good at Alexandria, and then, you know, then they find the saviors, you know. So there's always something. So I guess this is...
Yeah, there's always something, but I mean, no one else seemed to have their shit together like she did, or a plan.
Right.
So I don't think that you should be disappointed about her kind of...
I'm not really disappointed, but I don't know. It just seems like...
I don't think it's wrong to be disappointed is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
That she didn't really amount to what we thought she did.
Right.
Like we said, you know, Maggie took off with Georgie, and then Georgie took off by herself. Well, why didn't Maggie come back home? That's what I was like.
Right. That's my next question. You left
to make a difference.
Yeah.
With this lady, and then this lady took off somewhere else without you. Like, did you? I mean, she said she went west, but maybe that was just too like.
I mean, and come on, Brian hit it on the head. They get somewhere that's good. Everything's good. Everything falls apart. It happens every time. If you get something good, after the second or third evolution of that, somebody should be going, maybe we should start putting up more groceries and making more bullets and digging bigger holes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and I guess I kind of thought that's what Georgie was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
One would think.
I just don't know why Maggie didn't come back.
Well, that's sorry, and that's my next point.
Stealing your thunder.
If not coming back, like, why didn't she check the drops? Like, you know, it's like instead they made her worry that, you know, she had died or something, and you know, instead she like, I didn't feel like it, you know. So it's like, what? You know,
no, she said she got too far away.
Well, when she got too far away, that was true. But she also said that, you know, she went by the drop and didn't check at some point. So that's why I say, you know, shame on you. So
I was disappointed that she didn't come back.
Yeah.
I'm like, things fell apart where you were and you didn't come back home.
Yeah. Well, I guess this is her coming home.
Yep.
Yeah,
I guess.
Ruthie, do you have any what sauce that you want to highlight?
No, I mean, nothing but what I already said.
All right. Well, we don't have any sad sauce from either or sauce from either listeners or us. So let's move on to our feedback section. And Rick and Simon.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. So we have a voicemail, and it's from Renee from Atlanta.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Cal. Hi, Elsie. This is Renee calling from Atlanta. Normally, I'm with you guys on social media. I'm on Facebook, but I'm not going to be able to join you guys because right now I'm doing it fast, and I'm fasting from social media, so I'm going to be calling you guys every week and tell you how I feel about The Walking Dead. All righty. This week, I'm happy Maggie's back. That's all I can say. But other than that, it was, like, super boring. My awesome sauce was, of course, seeing Lil Herschel, Glenn Jr. He even had Glenn hat on. Baseball cap. I mean, he is adorable. He is super cute. So I'm looking forward to the interaction between Little Herschel and RJ and Judith, of course. I'm looking forward to that. My sad sauce was poor Negan. Now that Maggie's back, he's about to get his behind whipped or he's going to get kicked out. Something's going to happen. Something has to happen because they cannot coexist together. Other than that, I don't know. The Reaper, these new guys, where they come from, who are they, what they got going on. It's like our people, we cannot relax. I mean, it seems like every time we get rid of one villain, there's another one right there waiting for us. I mean, wow. But I'm so happy we're back. I'm glad The Walking Dead is back, even though we're going to have 5 episodes. At least I'm glad that we're back. And countdown time, because I'm getting ready to see my baby. I'm hoping in a couple of months the movie's getting ready to start. So I'm excited about that. All righty. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Renee, for that voicemail. And sorry we're not going to see you on Facebook group, but we'll still be getting your voicemail. So it's great. And for that matter, you know, if you can't write in, or sorry, if you can't call in, you can always use the feedback form at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. So anyway, so yeah, any comments about what she had to say? I'll just say I will look forward to Rick Grimes as well. I haven't heard much about the movie in a while either, so I don't know what.
There have been some rumorings and speculation on a few of the fan websites.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much nothing that I would take to the bank yet.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on. We've got Dieta from Detroit. Since you've been getting all of Glynis's feedback, Ruthie, why don't you read Dieta's?
Okay. All right. Dieta says, Maggie is back finally, and we get answers to where she's been and why she stayed gone so long. Oh, did she say her and Georgie would go to different communities and help only to have them all fall apart? If that was the case, then why were they doing it?
Well, it's like, you know, they were trying to help. So I think that was just, I don't know, lead by example or for that matter, try to bring civilization back, you know? I think that's why. But, and I already talked about, you know, how things always seem to fall apart. So
things fall apart. It's a famous book.
Yep.
Things always fall apart.
They do. The center can't hold. All right. She goes on to say, Carol explains how Negan got free and his role in taking down the Whisperers. But did she tell her about the deaths of her people, Jesus, Tara, Enid, Henry? Does she know about Rick and Michonne being gone? Why did she wait so long to come back after their deaths? Did she get letters about the Whisperers, or did she just decide to come back on her own? Well, she read about it.
Yeah. In fact, that's what Glynis
made her come back.
That's what Glynis said here. She had a comment back to Dieta. She said, Carol's letter that Maggie opened in TWD season 10, episode 16, which there was like a special edition version that played before this episode where, and Glynis included a screen capture of her reading that letter. But yeah, they mentioned that Jesus was dead. And I remember seeing like Enid, and it was several different people mentioned. So Enid and
yeah, there were a lot of names Tara. In that.
Yeah.
A lot of names in that letter. Yeah. So yeah, I guess what it was is that she hadn't been reading stuff. And then when she finally did, that's when she realized she had to come back. I don't know. Anyway.
Or they had already, you know, had things so screwed up that they had to come back.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she read the letter. She came back. That's what happened. All right. Moving on, she says, I loved the reaction Maggie had when she saw Negan. Can't wait to see how this story goes. Overall, it was a great episode to come back to. So we have a new group, the Reapers, in the woods stalking and killing folks. Where was this new group when the Whisperers roamed the forest? Thinking emoji, eye rolling emoji, rolling on the floor laughing emoji. Also, did anybody notice that Maggie's group only had two extra people survive the attack in the woods? She made it seem like it was a whole bunch of folk, but they only showed two extra people. Are the others still hiding in the woods? Maybe.
I don't think so. I think they're gone.
I don't know, man. Don't know.
Yeah. And I guess they never crossed, you know, so like if they were farther south, like, you know, like South Carolina or like, I don't know, even Florida, which I doubt Florida, but it's possible that the Reapers and Maggie never crossed the Whisperers. Besides, we know that winter that the Whisperers went south. We don't know how far south, but it was south enough that they didn't have to bother with the winter, I guess. So it must have went pretty far south.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it were wintertime and I was living outside, I would definitely go south.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. But if they're
as south as I could get.
Well, yeah, but if they went south and we're thinking about Alexandria, Virginia, I guess I'm being too practical. If they went down 95...
Yeah. Yes.
They're still going to be on the coastal side of North Carolina and South Carolina. So, yeah, it's a wonder that the Reapers and the Whisperers haven't already tangled.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they have. We don't know.
Yeah, maybe they did.
Or who knows? Maybe the Reapers are from, you know, maybe they're all Tennessee boys and
yeah,
they were further west when all this happened. Who knows?
Who knows, indeed.
All right. Next, we have Glynis from Toronto. LT, why don't you read that?
All right. When Maggie and company were clearing that chain-fenced enclosure with surgical precision, I was reminded of The Walking Dead Season 3, Episode 1, Seed, where Maggie discovered how to kill that walker in riot gear at the prison. Oh, same yeah. Chain-link gate being opened and then clear those walkers out.
That was a good scene.
It was. Mm-hmm. The silent high noon and awkward moment between Negan and Maggie. It'll be interesting to see when that accumulates into a major showdown. The awesomely masked Elijah with the evil knives killing skills has quite a hero vibe and showing a softer side without the mask and looks to be a future love interest for Kelly.
Yeah, I wondered that too.
Maybe.
The inappropriately timed goo-goo eyes now. So seem to have the next baddies with the Reapers. The survivors group is going to need the Commonwealth to defeat this latest threat as these Reapers are armed to the teeth, complete with sniper rifle and ghillie suit too. Yep. And waiting in the shadows is CRM. I know, patience, as don't want this to be over too soon come the final Walking Dead Season 11, but can't help it to get to those TWD movies and Rick Grimes.
Can I make an admission? Up until tonight, I had never heard of the term ghillie suit.
Are you serious?
I never exactly knew what it had I a said name.
To my stepmom.
Oh, I've seen them before, but I've never knew it had a name.
Oh, yes. My gosh. I said to my stepmom when we were watching, that guy's in a full-on ghillie suit.
And I was thinking, that's a good ghillie suit.
Yeah.
How does one make a ghillie suit anyway?
Well, one of the things you learn to do if you go to sniper school is how to make one.
Yeah.
And basically, you take an old set of fatigues and
start like sewing burlap to it.
Dyed burlap, and you cut it into strips. And you sew it on to the suit.
Oh, okay.
And then once you're in place, then you take local vegetation and, you know, you make it to where there are little straps and loops underneath the burlap so that you can stick twigs and bushes and, you know, local foliage in it to make yourself look bushy.
Part of the foliage.
Now you can buy, like I said, you can buy them. There are people that make them, but the store-bought ones are never as good looking as the ones you make, my opinion.
Probably true, because the store-bought one is going to be like a mass market thing, whereas the one that you make is going to be tailored specifically to yourself.
All right. I guess it's time for our own notes. So I had a few things. Anybody else have some notes that we didn't cover yet?
I have zero notes. Okay. So no.
And the only thing I'd have to add is you've already covered it in your first point, Brian. So,
well, okay. So this is a weak spoiler. Of course, back in season two, Rick said, "Oh, I hear Nebraska is nice." So, the Walking Dead world beyond, it takes place, or at least it starts in Nebraska. Actually, like, just on, you know, some university campus outside of Omaha. So the question was, is Georgie going to Omaha? Is that where she's on her way to?
I guess when you're on the East Coast, everything is west, but that's not really what I consider to be the West.
No. It's west of, like, west of Knoxville. So
it's west. Yeah. Like I said, everything is west when you're on the East Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. True. True enough.
Well, there's west and then there's way west.
Right.
There's, oh, is that how it goes?
Well, to me, you're still on the East Coast if you're on this side of the Mississippi. You know, for me, west is anything
west, you know, of the Mississippi,
cross the river,
you know. And for that matter, I didn't even think of this, but it could even be Virginia, you know, Ginny from Fear and her, all her settlements, you know, because they're west. In fact, we think one of them was in Oklahoma, right? LT,
yeah, because they kept talking about Lawton.
Yeah.
Lawton. Oh, so, my goodness.
Yeah, I spent many of the halcyon days of my youth in Lawton.
Because I could totally see that fitting in with Ginny's, you know, little settlements there. So, because it sounded like they had a number of them. You know, we don't know how many, but there's quite a few, it seems. So, the other two things that I shouldn't say the other thing, but next thing is, I want to know the story behind that iron / goalie mask of, Elijah. Like, where'd that come from? How'd it get made, and why is he wearing it other than, you know, to mask his, you know, tragedy or whatever. But like, what's the deal behind that? Like, how did he make it? Who made it? What's the deal? I want to hear that story. It's cool, though.
Oh, it's way cool.
Yeah.
And it's still, why do we need a secret identity in the apocalypse?
Yeah. I was leaning more towards silly than cool, personally. I was like, okay, unless you have some kind of hideous disfigurement or something where you're embarrassed to show your face.
Yeah, and he definitely does not.
Nope.
Yeah.
I just didn't really see the point of it, honestly, other than it's a plot device.
Striking fear into the hearts of your opponents.
Striking fear into the hearts of the walkers.
Yeah, well, maybe he's on the witness protection program.
I see.
There are no more witnesses.
Oh, well, gosh.
There's got to be a reason. There's got to be some cool plot reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there is.
We hope.
Yeah. And the other thought I had is that Maggie knows what it's like to have a missing sister. So I think that's how she could finally identify with Kelly, you know, because of course, like maybe younger sister, older sister, but nevertheless, they both have had missing sisters. Of course, you know, Beth ended up, you know, dying before, basically dying just before she found her, but, and of course, Connie, but it occurred to me, in the last thing, that's one reason that they could identify with each other.
And we're still wondering when they're going to tell us more about Connie.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that we know is we saw her like in the like last few frames or whatever. I think just before those, you know, stormtroopers, she gets picked up by Virgil, that weasel. So, you know, what happens to her with him, who knows? But
Virgil,
don't drink the water, Connie.
Yeah, don't drink the water.
who is this Virgil?
Virgil is the guy that ends up, you know, giving Michonne the magic mushrooms, you know?
Yeah, Virgil is the guy.
The island guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that showed up at Oceanside and then took Michonne for a ride. And then,
Right. I did not remember his name. There are a lot of characters whose names I don't remember, but I know who they are. That guy was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yes, he was.
He had what we like to call issues.
Of course, does that mean he has another boat, though? Because didn't Michonne leave him on the island?
No, I think he got off the island.
Yeah, but she left him there. She did leave him there.
So another question for another day.
I guess so.
Maybe he's just a really good swimmer.
Maybe. All right. So let's move on to our news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
All right. So let's go first to our ratings. Ratings for Walking Dead's return were up. Oh, that was the wrong one.
Yay.
So it got a 0.92 in the 18 to 49 with 2.891 million viewers. That is up from the 0.87 that it got in October of 18 to 49 with 2.727 million viewers. So I didn't go back and look to see what it got in April to see what season 10 episode 15 was. But it is up from, you know, the October single episode. The bonus episode that came on just before it, it got a 0.41 in the 18 to 49 with 1.582 million viewers. Talking Dead was also up compared to that episode where the pseudo finale, the original finale was. It got a 0.32 in the 18 to 49 with 1.036 million viewers. That compares to that particular time when it got a 0.20 in the 18 to 49 with 682,000 viewers. And if I'm not mistaken, LT, wasn't that the first night of World Beyond?
That is correct.
Yes.
That's the last time we had Talking Dead, because the rest of the time they put it on Plus.
That's right. Yes. They put it on Plus,
which they need to put it on regular broadcast.
Yep. So I did not publish the charts prior to this, but I have them. They're in the document. The reason why I didn't publish them is because I had to change the charts because I had to extend the season out because all the seasons were a maximum of 16 episodes. Well, now they're going to be a maximum of 22 And then next season, 24. So I had to make some changes to the document. But it's there now. So I'm going to have it. I'm going to change it each week and make it 17 and make it 18 and make it 19, etc. Looking at the parrots this week, anticipation of The Walking Dead had it return to the top 10 in demand expressions. It was at number 6 at 55.8 times the average demand for a show. The number one show, and I still have no idea anything about this show. I think it's anime or something. Attack on Titan, which got a 105.4 times the average demand. The second was SpongeBob. So
interesting.
Yeah. With Saturday Night Live at number 3. So as far as Talking Dead, they had on something that I've wanted for a long time. We've had showrunners that have been on the show, but we've never had a writer on the show that wasn't like showrunner. But this episode and the next one, supposedly they will have writers on. So they had a co-executive producer and one of the writers of this episode, Corey Reed, who also wrote the previous finale. He was on with Lauren Cohan, obviously Angel Theory, who plays Kelly, and her interpreter. And that was a pretty good episode, I thought, of Talking Dead. And that was actually available, like if you have AMC Plus or Premiere, that was actually made available to watch like at the same time as you could watch the episode. So I actually watched it a few days ahead. So that was kind of cool. And I never found out, were you guys able to take a look to see if you had access to this special that they had, the making of season 10C?
I didn't.
I've looked, but some of those I haven't been able to see yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you go to AMC.com, you may have access to it. I don't know. I have AMC Premiere, which eventually, because I paid for a year of AMC Premiere, which has turned out to be a mistake because they, didn't mention that they were going to have Plus. But anyway, when it finishes at the end of the month, I'll switch over to Plus. But anyway, Premiere and Plus have this special, and it may be available to everybody, but it's called The Walking Dead, The Making of Season 10C. And it's, I think, 31-minute special. And it talks about like all the things that they had to do to write and prepare and be able to do shows that were like not originally intended in a season, that were in this COVID time. And it talks about all the things that they needed to do. Like one thing that I thought was very interesting, they have gone to digital. So up until now, The Walking Dead was one of the few shows on TV that was still filmed on film. And now, because of COVID, because it was easier, because it made a lot of things easier for them, and the quality is so good, they have finally switched to digital. So I thought that was interesting. Another thing that was very interesting is Greg Nicotero has changed how they make walkers. So it's now a completely different process, and they're able to like shave a ton of time off of putting a walker makeup together. So now it's like a two-piece design, and they have like a hood area, they have like a mask, and then they have like something around the mouth, and it's just all put on. And then if they have to add hair, they have like little snaps to put on the hair. It's like they completely came up with another way of doing it. And they also talk about like all the COVID testing and all the sanitation, you know, or sanitizer, stuff like that they had to put in and all that. It's really, really, really interesting special. So if you have access to that, I highly recommend watching that. That's it as far as the news. I didn't really hear anything except for one final thing. Fear the Walking Dead actually had its, there were some commercials on during the episode, and it returns April 11th. So, and I'm not sure if it's a full 16 episodes or not, but it comes back with season 6, episode 8, and that's going to be April 11th. So, have to find out next week if it's, all 16 episodes or if it's shortened. I don't know. Okay, so that's it for our news section. We're going to have LT read this part. So if people want to submit their theories and feedback, how would they do so?
To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadttm. You can email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. You can also use our feedback forum, which is found at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. Or you can call 216-232-6146 and leave a voicemail. Remember, all of our new episodes are on YouTube first. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when the new videos are there. They go to YouTube first before the podcast posts. So if you want to see it as soon as it's available, check out YouTube.
Ooh, YouTube.
As always, we want you to like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. If you really want to support the podcast, the best way you can support us is by using our Patreon. That's at www.patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And as always, we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Renee Murray, Clint McCollum, and that guy that took over as co-host when they couldn't find anybody else.
It's LT!
It's me. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. While you're there, if you can, give us a rating or a review. We also would love it if you would leave us a review at podchaser.com. You can rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. Remember, go to that Talk Through Media Facebook page and share our posts on Facebook and Twitter, because word of mouth is still the best way for us to get new listeners. Post it there, retweet it, tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell everybody. And if you want to listen to the rest of the network, you can listen to Brian and Ruthie. They recently finished the Star Trek Discovery podcast, which is at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com or Facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMPodcasts. They're on a little bit of a break because there's no new Star Trek, but as soon as there's new Star Trek available, there will be more podcasts.
Yay.
There is a Patreon for those podcasts at Patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. We just had a Star Trek Patreon roundtable. We're expecting to have more in the future, and we're hoping to have a, you know, back to the Walking Dead. We're hoping to have a Patreon or a caller roundtable for all of our listeners, but that's in the works. So
to be determined.
TBD. But as I said, you know, check us out on Facebook. Remember that anything in the main Talk Through Media group can be forwarded. The links from the individual groups cannot. So always forward those links out of the main group. And since I can say it on behalf of all the staff of Talk Through Media, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
We appreciate your listenership. We thank you for all your support, and there's more coming.
More to come. More in the works.
All right. So the next episode for The Walking Dead Talk Through will be covering season 10, episode 18, which is titled Find Me. I don't know who's written it, but I believe it will be directed by the second team director, Laura Belsey, and I don't have a description. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And I'm Ruthie.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.